Welcome to episode 175 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. You got your triple threat edition here today, Chris, Donald, and Jason. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing good. Not too bad. Snowy day here in Pittsburgh, you know, so cold and snowy. Donald, I know this is more your weather than mine, but you enjoying the weather so far?
I mean, I like it cool, you know, so perfect weather for me. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not ice, that's fine.
This is true. This is more, you know, stay in, watch, catch up on shit. But instead, we'll pod today. So yes. Still staying in for it. Everybody have a good week.
Yeah, the week was the week.
Work is work.
Very terrible. I'm getting to the point now, like, you know, I've been working from home for a while. But it's like I'm getting to the point again, like it's like COVID for me. It's just like, okay, what day is it? Like, it's yes, like, it's it messing with me a little bit. Like I gotta kind of like figure, like change up the routine, I think, a little bit now.
How it feels when you leave the house. What day is it?
Mm-hmm. And you're just getting old too.
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
40's pushing closer and closer every day. Just a little bit more, a little bit more. It's almost over.
No, that's how you just use it off day to day.
Welcome. Past week was, you know, real busy week. Before we get into the wrestling stuff, busy week in general, but actually felt like from the past few weeks, it was a slow news wrestling week. You know, like not like there seemed to be a lot of breaking news the past few weeks, so we didn't really have that. Just few little tidbits here and there, so it was like it's kind of like a nice little catch your breath, little breather.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, still WrestleMania season, so still a lot to discuss on the show today. But I think like we can discuss some other things before we get right into the wrestling. How about that?
That's well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So as everybody knows, and from what the ratings were, everybody watched the Super Bowl was this past Sunday, and with it came a shitload of new movie trailers. And some new movie trailers even followed during the week. So I'm actually going to list some of these movie trailers and just want to see what you guys are excited for. Tell me what you're most, if there's something that you're most excited for, and then we can even discuss any of the other ones. But during the Super Bowl, they released Deadpool and Wolverine, Wicked, Twisters, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Godzilla Kong the New Empire, A Quiet Place Day One, Despicable Me 4, The Fall Guy, Kung Fu Panda 4, If, Monkey Man, Inside Out 2. And this one's not a movie, but it was a trailer that was released this week, which we all have watched, X-Men 97. So, out of those, what are you most looking forward to?
I think I'd actually buy a ticket for Deadpool Wolverine. And Godzilla Kong, I need that on HBO Max. We gotta go back to COVID times.
Yeah.
Deadpool. Deadpool Wolverine is like probably from what you name, top of my list to go see. And I'm right with Jason too. That Kong Godzilla, that's a home thing. I don't know if I go pay a ticket to go see that.
Okay. I really want to see it, but
I mean I do want to see it, but yeah.
That's one of those ones that I've said I'm going to watch because I've been looking forward to them for a while, you know, to watch all of them. Like, they've all been on HBO and stuff, but it's like I've never gone taking the time to watch them.
And then throw Wicked in there for me. I want to see that. Just to see how they do with the songs. That's it.
I was just, you've seen the musical, right?
No, I just know one of the songs.
Okay.
That's a 100% hard pass for me.
And that gravity, and that Defy Gravity from that song, from that, there you go. I just want to see how they do that. That's it.
I want to see it. I don't know if I'll go to the theater to see it, but I'll definitely watch it at some point.
Hard pass.
The one that's 100%. I love how that's the one that we discussed, but the one I agree with you guys, the one that's, it will be a must watch in the theater for me will be Deadpool. Like, that's probably the one that will be, out of anything, will be must see in the theater.
Mm-hmm. That one, the other stuff, it really doesn't hit all like that. I mean, you see A Quiet Place. Like, I'm going to go probably see that just because it's a horror movie.
I haven't seen the first one.
You mean the first two?
I haven't seen the first one. So, there you go.
And this is a sequel, or not sequel, like a spinoff, right?
It's a prequel. So it's
a prequel. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but everything you name, Deadpool, Wolverine, for sure. There's other stuff I want to see that's later in the thing that trailers didn't drop yet for it, but.
Yeah.
Give me all the kid movies too. Watch those with the kids.
Inside Out is pretty interesting. I like the first one a lot. I like to see the second.
I saw the first one in the theater, and that was good. Like, that's one of those ones that cracked me up, that I go see a Pixar movie in the theater, and it's more adults than it is kids.
Is that how it always is now?
I mean, I saw it later in the evening, too. Like, I made sure I went to a later show, but, like, yeah, I was like, it was all adults pretty much in there. I think there might have been, like, one kid whenever I went to see it. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I don't think I've ever seen anything of Kung Fu Panda past one, so didn't even know they were on number four.
They were on four.
Yeah. Despicable Me 4. I mean, they've done, what, that? Minions as their standalones, too. It's just like, that's just a franchise that makes money over money over money.
I just seen first and second one. I had no idea about the rest.
I'm trying to think of what the last one was that I saw. I think I've seen all three plus Minions, but I don't know for sure.
I haven't seen The Rise of Gru yet.
No. Okay. I haven't seen that one either. Was that three or was that a standalone?
I think that's a Minions.
That's a Minions one. Okay.
I think that's a Minions one.
See, I kind of agree, because if you watch what Disney's been releasing the past few months, everything's a sequel. Like, there's very few, like, actual, like, original ideas coming out of Disney right now.
Oh, that's Hollywood in general.
Very true. But Disney's never done this hard on sequels, though. Like, remember, like, when we were kids, like, you know, you had Aladdin, you had Beauty and the Beast, you had Little Mermaid. You had all of those that were theater movies. And then, like, Lion King 2, Aladdin 2, all that was direct to VHS. You know, there was none of those, like, were actual sequels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, now it's like, they're like, the mouse is like, oh, I know how to make more money.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a Disney Plus thing, you know, just for more content, or if it's, you know.
That could be.
I think more actors are also willing to do more voiceovers than they used to be because of how easy it is to do that work. Maybe not easy, but like easier to do that work, you know, because they can do it remote if they wanted to instead of in the studio.
Yeah. And then you mentioned, too, X-Men 97. I'm very highly, highly interested in that.
Very soon.
Yeah, March 20th. Yeah. Right around the corner.
40. Mm-hmm. 41. Can't watch cartoons.
You watch a cartoon movie, but you can't watch a cartoon TV show?
Those are cartoons. Those are animated movies. Those are claymation, CGI.
What's the criteria? Here we go.
The criteria. I just need to follow the logic on this one.
They don't make cartoon movies anymore.
This is true, but
that's very true.
But look how great the animation has come along the way. You know, it's like,
I haven't seen it because, I mean, y'all sent the trailer. I haven't watched it.
I mean, I remember watching Moana at home. Like, I didn't go see that in the theater. I saw that at home, like, whenever it came out. And just like, it's like watching, like, just on a 4K TV. Just ridiculous. If you're in the comments, Dave and Taekwon are doing their normal Saturday morning bullshit. But that was all the trailers. I don't know if you guys saw the ratings for the Super Bowl. I kind of want to just touch on this real quick. The second most watched TV program in all of history, behind the moon landing. That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. That is.
It's America's favorite sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's number one.
It's the biggest sport, and you got the biggest fan base watching for one person.
Yeah.
And she bought in all the eyes.
I mean, we know that's part of the reason why the ratings. But
mm-hmm.
that's, I mean, the people that spent what, $7 million on a commercial? I mean,
yeah,
that could have been money well invested.
Mm-hmm.
With that many eyes.
They're wasting money this year. Commercials were trash.
Yeah, commercials weren't bad.
Did you have a favorite commercial?
Maybe Arnold and State Farm.
Okay. That was a good one.
That was maybe that. That's about it. Yeah. Deadpool.
Not really.
Trailer.
Yeah. Teaser. During the game, it was teaser. Watch the trailer online. That's how everything was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that one. I liked the State Farm one, Jason. I liked the E-Trade one. They kind of brought back the E-Trade babies, but playing mm-hmm. pickleball. So I kind of liked that one, too. But that was not as good as the old ones, but.
And I didn't watch the second half, so I was sleeping. So I didn't see anything after that.
But to tie this into wrestling now, after seeing those ratings, you know, we always talk about how sometimes ratings aren't as important as they used to be. When you see numbers like that, though, are ratings still relevant?
Depends on the content.
Not for everyday. Not for everyday TV.
Like every week?
Yeah.
Like wrestling every week?
Yeah.
It's like, because I thought, it's like, okay, because I put this in a wrestling thing. Like, WWE loves to tout that they don't care about ratings, you know, because there's so many factors, they always say, you know, even though a lot of people do factor in DVR in their ratings. Mm-hmm. You know, they factor in DVR, they factor in YouTube views, social media views, all that kind of stuff. But if WWE put, say, WrestleMania on CBS, and they got half that number, don't you think they'd be touting the rating?
Whatever, yeah.
Even though every conference call, they'll sit there and say ratings don't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they would definitely be like, nope, ratings matter. We're 100% going to tout that rating.
Oh, of course they would.
You know, just like mm-hmm. they'll fit that narrative to wherever they want it to be relevant.
It's a corporation. I don't put the corporations past anything. I'm talking to the wrong person about that.
Plus, it's a Super Bowl. You're not watching clips or you're not waiting to see what happens. You're going to watch the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
commercial, halftime, and everything. Like, you can get the I know you can get the commercials offline afterwards.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're going to watch the whole thing. Wrestling, you're not interested in everything in wrestling. So you'll catch a clip of something you like whenever it's on. Yeah. So they can tout those views of clips and numbers.
Yeah. That's a good point because you know the card is going to happen and be like, okay, I'm not interested in this particular match. So I'm going to turn it and watch something else and all that stuff. Mm. But in the actual game, it's not going to be like, oh, the Chiefs are going to go 3-and-out. So I'm just going to cut it off there because I know they're going to go 3-and-out. And watch something else. You don't know that's going to happen.
Jason, do you think that's a question on the content? You know, because like that you're only picking and choosing what you want. Like, is there too much wrestling content out there that the people are only picking what they want to watch instead of back in the day, it was more minimal. So you watch the show just to watch the show.
I mean, why sit 3 hours when you can tune into a clip of everything that happened afterwards? Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Plus, with the Super Bowl, you're getting people who specifically turn into a halftime, turning for a halftime. People who tune in just halftime. Yeah, people tune in just for the commercials, but they'll watch, you know, the whole thing. And then you also have the party aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was actually something interesting in the ratings this year, that they said there was more in-home views this year than, like, actually, like, more parties, like, in the past, like, where people were, like, doing group watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more home, like, more people stayed home to watch it.
Hey, get Taylor Swift in WrestleMania 40.
You never know. What else is she doing? Dave says, do pay-per-views need halftime shows? No, absolutely not.
No.
I'm on, like, anytime.
They have this band intermissions and that stuff, and that's terrible. That's a slow.
It always kills the momentum of the show.
Yeah. It slows down the stuff.
Yeah. Do you remember back in the day, like when we went to wrestling shows, like live events, like where there was always an intermission?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like they stopped doing that, you know, mm-hmm. like sometimes the main event happened before the intermission, you know, yeah. and then you got that back card, you know, and like, cause most people left at the intermission time.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind if you started out with something.
If you what?
If you started out with a concert.
Who was it? WrestleMania 18. They did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't started out with a concert and then they stopped somewhere and they did another concert and it like was killing momentum.
Yeah, I wouldn't split it.
I don't mind the occasional, I don't like this all the time. I don't mind the occasional performance for an intro. Like whenever Motorhead did Triple H's and stuff like that.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna stop the whole show like they did for that Hardy dude, you know,
just that was terrible.
Kid Rock.
To do like two songs and all that stuff. Yeah, to do two songs and that stuff. It was like, no, I'm not here for that.
And you have to be a name.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be.
Not somebody you just got to do a single for the show.
Mm-hmm. So while we're on this conversation, I saw LA Knight this week said that he wants Usher to perform at WrestleMania for his intro.
I'm so over that dude. It's unbelievable.
Which one?
LA Knight. I am over him. The man is nothing but a catchphrase. That's it. I said it.
That would tie right in with it, though. That's the catchphrase.
That's it. Every time that man's on my screen, I turn it off. I'm at that point with him.
All right. So we're going to change things up this week. We're going to go to Jabroni first. And we're going to have a discussion before we... So I'm going to kick off with mine and Steve's Jabroni, which you guys are in the group chat, so I'm sure you know where we're going to head with this. The Rock's promo last night on SmackDown. That was both mine and Steve's Jabroni of the week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was any for you guys, but...
No.
I want to get your takes on it because, you know, The Rock basically came out... Just paraphrasing here, saying that Cody's a crybaby because he called his shot. You don't get redos in life. You know, that's not how the real world works. You know, you can't just call your shot. Even though the past few years in WWE, everybody just calls the WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's.
Yeah, they just point to the sign.
Yeah. It's all it is. Sign point, and you get a match. But Cody actually wins a match with a stipulation that he gets to pick his opponent at WrestleMania, and that's not allowed.
So, that's the part that didn't make sense.
Yeah. The whole segment in there was just The Rock talking. Just didn't, like, as much as I love The Rock, that was probably the promo of his that made the least amount of sense.
Okay.
And I want to hear your thoughts on this. I have where I think this is going. But want to hear your thoughts on last night.
To me, it wasn't one of his best at all. He was just like reverbing everything that normally is The Rock when he's turning heel. You know, like getting on the crowd and all that stuff. Getting on Cody. But to me, why is he talking about Cody? Like, it's already done and over with. For me, the focus should be on Roman and Cody. The Rock shouldn't have any play in this at all anymore. To me, this is my opinion. He shouldn't even be like in the conversation with his main event at all. Like, this should go full forward, Cody, Roman. And when he was talking yesterday, like the promo wasn't that good. To me, it just takes back to my legends take all the time. You just put a legend on there just to make a money grab, just to make a ratings grab. And it was absolutely pointless.
Yeah.
made no sense to me at all.
No. It was very, I want to say it kind of wasn't coherent. You know, it was just kind of like him rambling on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the callbacks for him, you know, like, you know, he wore like the old style, like silk shirts, like he did back in the Attitude Era, you know,
$500 shirts.
Yeah. Like kind of did a, like I saw someone say it was like, you know, he wore the $500 shirt, like you said, Donald, in the Attitude Era. Then he wore the vest during Hollywood Heel Rock. And then, so like he kind of blended the two together as, you know, a vest and a shirt together for this version of Dwayne or whatever we're going to call him here. So I liked some of the callbacks, but like the actual promo itself just wasn't crazy about Jason.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't his best, but I didn't mind it. I'm here for the ride. Like we were saying, like the part where Cody run the Rumble, so there's no, you don't get a second shot. You earn that spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As for The Rock being in there, I don't mind it. I feel like they're still playing like this main event isn't set in stone.
Which is to keep you hooked.
Yeah. Don, like you had brought up, you know, you think it should be, the focus should be on Roman and Cody.
Yes.
I was okay with it this week, you know, since we're still coming kind of off of like the press conference last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have the Elimination Chamber next week. After that point, yes, the focus needs to be 100% on Cody and The Rock, or Cody and Roman moving forward. Like once we're, you know, no more stops till WrestleMania, that's where the focus needs to be.
But so far, like Roman's not in a match at Elimination Chamber. So far, what we know, Cody's not in the match.
Mm-mm.
The Rock's not in the match. So what are we doing? We just talking just to talk. Like Cody always say, what do we want to talk about? I mean, I'm full head forward to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't need any like other sidebars or anything with these two, with Roman and Cody. I don't need no other sidebars. I don't need Seth coming out every time Cody comes out to talk, this and that. It's just like, okay, enough is enough. I was like, you guys went with one plan. It didn't work. You got the plan back on track. Enough with the sidebars.
Mm-hmm. So that was Raw this Monday, talking to Seth and Cody. Seth came out and was basically saying, I got your back. And to sum it up, you know, I know Roman, he's got The Rock, I got your back in this. So to me, where this is heading now is it's gonna be kind of like somebody in the corner, you know. Rock's gonna be advertised as being in Roman's corner. Seth will be advertised as being Cody's corner. Seth will still have a match at WrestleMania, most likely night one, and then night two, you know, he'll be in the corner. But I was thinking last night, you know, last week we were talking about, like, where's Triple H's involvement in this? He keeps kind of putting himself in here heavy last week. I was kind of surprised he wasn't on last night. I kind of thought after his comments last week he was going to be on. Yes, Ty, that's kind of what I was thinking. WrestleMania 16.
I'm big man in every quarter.
But I'm thinking now, I don't know if he's if he could do this, if he's cleared enough for this, but I'm thinking Triple H is going to be the guest ref. So he's going to be the one that, you know, if you guys are out there, I'm going to make sure that there's a winner, you know, with no involvement, but.
I think he's clear for a sledgehammer. He's clear for a sledgehammer shot.
And to me, like, if
I'm
if
sure he probably could, but I don't know if that's too much. You know, I don't know what he's allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do.
It's like if he ends up being, you know, special guest referee, then The Rock is in Roman's corner. Seth's going to be in Cody's corner. It's just reminding me of the women's triple threat at WrestleMania that we went to up in New York with the both titles on the line. It's mm-hmm. too much. It's too much. There'll be too much star power in this match. It's just like you just got to strip everything away and just go down to its basics. Just too much.
Kenny says, I don't think Roman showed Dwayne how to throw the ones up before coming out. I caught that too. But I have... Last night, Roman said he was going to do everything in his power to stop Cody from winning the title at WrestleMania. As soon as he said that line, I thought, he's turning on Roman at WrestleMania. He's costing Roman the belt. And that, because he said their story is just beginning, him and Roman. And then that takes
chapter one.
And so this finishes Cody's story.
So we're finally in the ninth inning of, you know, this bloodline story.
I don't know if we're in the ninth inning. We might be in the eighth. Because I don't know when they're going to have the match. But I think this will set up, whether it's at SummerSlam or WrestleMania next year, you know, or somewhere else. You know, they could put it in France at Backlash, or they could put up Money in the Bank in Toronto. You know, there's different places that they can put it. I think more. But it made me, like, it was making me think. Steve keeps saying that he needs to hear from Cody or The Rock that what their conversation was, that why things changed. I think this has been the plan all along. And the Raw after Mania, you'll get that aces and eights breakdown from Cody or The Rock, that this was the plan.
It's too much.
I have The Rock turning on Roman, but still Roman winning. Okay. And that takes you to SummerSlam too.
Man, if Roman wins, boy, you thought it was bad in LA last year. There you go.
Gonna take that Philly crowd and do that, huh?
You can have Rumble 2015 again.
14.
Was it 14?
Here?
No, Philly.
The 15. One after. Okay.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah. If you will have that again.
What better way to end it?
Full level. It's just too much for me.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, it's been how long now? It's a lot of story. But that was my Jabroni. It's kind of my take on it. Where do you guys want to go for Jabronis this week?
I'll go last.
Okay. Mine goes to the dead man. Undertaker. You said you retired the gimmick. You're only giving us what, badass Taker, but you're out here. This is like the third time you've presented some trophy as the dead man. No.
Who you do that for?
No, okay. No.
He talks, man.
If you retired the gimmick.
Who you do that for?
I don't know. He was it soccer?
Yeah, it was some sort of soccer. I don't know if it was FIFA or.
No. You said you retired the cape and the hat. You're done. If I can't get it, I don't want nobody else to get it.
He comes out as American Badass in soccer. They're going to be like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, but don't give me American Badass.
Money talks, man. Hey, he's cashing them checks. He'll do whatever at this
point. I don't want to see you at a Comic-Con as a dead man. No, you said you hung it up. Now it's just memories. You're brownie.
So Ty brought up The Undertaker's podcast, too. Like, I didn't see it yet, but just, like, dude's, like, completely off gimmick in real life now. Like, live kayfabe for, what, 30 years, and then just, like, nope, done. I'm Mark.
Okay. He's free now.
Oh. Steve said Taker out there doing Blue Chew ads. Donald, what was your...
My Jabroni, it's actually outside of wrestling. It had to do with gaming. But Sony said that the PS6 is going to be the most powerful system that will ever come out. And they said the PS5 is already on its last years of its leg. And I was like, hold up. I was like, everybody just got the system, you know, this Christmas and everything. And I was like, you're already talking about PS6? absolute jabroni in the video game world. And Xbox was talking about the same thing too. They said the next Microsoft system is going to be the most powerful system out. But yeah, they can't even get out of a first party game.
But then what will happen? PS7 will be the most powerful system they've ever created.
Yeah.
How's the session works?
So
Microsoft and Sony, you guys are already touting about their next gen systems, and you didn't even do the full capabilities of these systems that are out now. Is 100% total jabroni in my mind.
That's a good one.
That is awful. And that was the talk of the town in gaming this week.
Let them have some life to them. Like, we don't need a new system every other year.
Yeah, they just got done doing cross-gen games with the PS4 and the Xbox One. They just finished that up. And now they're all talking about the next systems.
I don't need a slim. I don't need an alternate color. Just give me one damn system. Stick with it. Perfect it.
And that's it.
And that's all you need.
That's it. No slim. No pro. Because they're talking about the pro. The PlayStation Pro. The Xbox Pro. Whatever. I'm just like, no. Just get your standard system and that's it. Perfect it.
You see, still about the actual handheld. No. Give me a damn system.
Yeah, Taquan. It's about 6 to 7 years. Mainly 7.
So what do we have right now on PS5? 2, 3?
We're on 3, I do believe.
So if they're bringing it up, you know, that just probably means it's in not necessarily in production, but, you know, R&D's working on it.
Yeah.
So probably still a few years away, so.
It's just like, man.
You ought to give that grace for the system not being readily available the first time. So,
very true. Yeah,
you factor that in.
So you got to give it another year.
Yeah,
just for that,
at least
for that purpose. Another year and a half. But yeah, but not to get off the wrestling subject. But I thought that was very significant.
Since we wait until I don't know what version will be. We'll say PlayStation 10. It'll be built into Sony TVs at that point. And then every year.
You'll be microchipping your head.
I don't think I'll be around to see that.
Then it'll probably be like, you know, back in the day, TV was a TV. You know, only big upgrades came, you know, like whenever new technology came. Now you get a new version every year because of the computer chips inside of it. You know, you get the 23 TV, the 24 TV, whatever. It's like, that's the way it'll be. PlayStation will get an upgrade every year because of the new TV it'll be installed in.
Yeah.
In 10 years, they'll probably be like on PlayStation 15. Like, we'll just constantly update them. Like, this has a new firmware update, gets a new number. So, I've been seeing a lot of people talking about not really to change it, just want to see what your thoughts are. Like, so Apple got into the VR game, and a lot of people are talking about that. Like, do you see this being more of the future, the VR stuff? I know it's there already. PlayStation and Xbox have already done it. I think Xbox has done it. I could be wrong, but
no, they did.
They didn't do it. Okay. So PlayStation's done it, Facebook's done it, and Apple.
Yeah.
So there's all of them.
Is it Samsung?
Samsung has one too? Okay.
Yeah, the Oculus, yeah. I think that's theirs. VR to me, no. If it's not like Ready Player One, I don't care for it. So I'll shut that down real fast.
I don't know all the different, how like each of them are different or anything. The stuff I've seen for the Apple one looks cool. Like, it looks like you can like have like windows open, like an internet browser and like some like TV and things like that at the same time. Like, I saw someone using it as like they were watching their TV and then had a TV next to it, like the whatever they're calling it, the Apple VR, like next to it. So you're like, they're getting like their picture in picture in a way.
I got something better than VR. It's called real life.
Once anything obvious I can see in Braddock.
Like you said, you need VR, it's called real life. you got to do it yourself. You know, if a sports car, I'll go test out a sports car. You know, if I want to skydive, I'll go skydive.
I did see, speaking of like the picture in picture, I saw YouTube TV this week is starting to adjust their multi-view. So you can actually pick games now, what you want to see in the, like if you want two different games, like instead of like their pre-chosen games. I was like, just give me multi-view. Like, don't give me like just games, like give me multi-view. So if I want to watch a game and I want to watch a show, or I want to watch wrestling on one and watch something else, like once they get to that, like you can create your own multi-view, like your own multiverse, then I'll be happy with that. But like, I don't watch it as much. Like I saw like they're doing like with like news channels now. I was like, who wants to watch four different news channels at the same time? All right. Getting back on wrestling. Steve did have another jabroni this week, besides The Rock, and I'll go on through his other jabroni, his original one, was the Darby Allin promo. I didn't see it, so I really can't talk on this. I don't know if you guys watched it or not. He said, guess the Cody crybabies DM'd him so much he wanted to get Cody over in AEW again and succeeded, but not referencing to the Bucks bloodying him, Sting, taking out Sting's sons, ruining the moment they had after winning the titles, per AEW never following up on a hot angle or segment.
Sounds about right.
I didn't see it. I read EVP not Omega, that clip, but I didn't see it. It's Darby Allin talking.
When does Darby Allin get over in a promo either? Like that's rare. Like, that's rare for him to get time.
Yeah. For AEW, if it doesn't consist of two people, I don't care. Swerve and the other one's my Mount Rushmore.
All right, so let's get into Mount Rushmores then. Go ahead, kick it off, Donald.
My Mount Rushmore was Tony Storm's film, Wet Ink, on Dynamite.
I missed Dynamite this week, so apparently I need to go back and watch this.
She was getting a new tattoo. Is that the way she say it? Tattoo. And talking about Deonna. And it was hilarious. I mean, it was perfectly timely. Timeless Tony Storm. Just talking about she was just talking about her history with Deonna, calling her my young girl. And you you nourished on my bosom of brilliance. You suckled all my tit of talent. And basically that you bit the tit that feeds you. So she was like, how do you change the past? How do you change the past? You do something. And the tattoo that she had with Deonna, she had a dagger going through it. She was just like, you're not just going to get this version of Tony Storm, but you're going to get the version you want of Tony Storm. And it was the best thing that was on Dynamite.
Can we do a bingo game of how many times Tony Storm can say tit on TV each week?
Yeah.
Or take a shot every time she says it.
it was that and the Swerve promo was the only thing that I really cared about in Dynamite. If it doesn't have to do with Tony Storm or Swerve, Dynamite can go off, to be truthful.
I enjoyed Tony Storm when it was silent films.
I bet you do.
Yeah. All this talking, I'm over it.
Oh, no. The talking is great to me.
No. Give me the tits out, watch for the shoe line, and that's it. I don't need to hear nothing else. Just being black and white and carrying my TV on mute. I'm happy.
You need her as rocker chicken again, huh?
Huh? No, I don't matter. It's timeless. Just be saying it. Sally Phil.
Sally Phil.
Man, I'm so glad it's not Women's History Month right now.
Taekwondo, I'm not putting that out.
The views expressed by the dub marks, not necessarily. I'm enjoying everything with Tony that I've seen. Like,
Yes. Yes, very, very much.
She's been my Mount Rushmore a few times during this run. Jason, I'm guessing yours isn't from AEW, right?
It is. I got two.
Oh. Is the main one AEW?
The main one's AEW.
Okay, go ahead then.
The first one is the Wolf Dogs. Because nobody else, I don't think it did. Did Steve have the Wolf Dogs?
For the cage match?
Huh? Do you know who the Wolf Dogs are?
I didn't see AEW this week.
Chris doesn't know who Chris doesn't know who the Wolf Dogs are.
You talk about NXT.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, I definitely don't know.
Well, you said AEW, Jason.
Yeah. No, I said the first one, the main one's from AEW.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you start from the bottom, work your way up. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Wolf Dogs, Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker.
They're tag champs now.
No, Chris? No?
No.
Man, nope. Entertaining pool.
You're not.
Honestly, you guys know I haven't watched NXT in a while.
You're not here for a You Deserve a Chance for Baron Corbin?
No.
Yeah. They turn face after they won.
You serious?
Yes, oh, everybody I think they turned face run.
Yeah, they turned face.
Braun Breaker debuts on SmackDown next week. Is it a heel or a face run then?
I don't know how you want to play that. You gotta bring Corbin up too. Got to.
I was I was surprised last night when they said Braun Breaker is debuting. I was like, okay, yeah. So I guess
yeah, no, like already. Yeah.
How do you run the storyline? But you know, yeah. Hardware on Baron Corbin is much deserved. So there's my 1B. Long way, gimmick after gimmick. One is Queen Aminata.
Okay.
That was about to be my jabroni after they played the package. I was like, if they make her lose after playing the package, TK is definitely going on my list. she got her first win on AEW as a whole, I do believe. Like, first solo win. She's been there since the COVID era.
Thank goodness, man. She was a straight Barry Horowitz for that women's division.
Enhancement
she was talent. True enhancement talent.
Well, I think she got the All Elite graphic this week, right?
Yeah, I do believe. So I seen some come up, but I didn't see it on like TV or anything, so
yeah.
I wasn't sure. You didn't get the good old.
She can win when she gets the graphic.
So. Okay. I know how AEW plays it now.
Yeah,
if you don't sign on that paper, you ain't getting a win.
No,
until you win, until you sign.
I got it.
But I see she has some wins on ROH. So does that not?
It's not the same company.
That's a good point.
You're not all. Oh,
yeah. I don't think it does.
It's not the same company.
So, I mean, yeah, technically, no, it's not the same company. AEW doesn't own Ring of Honor.
Yeah, what are you talking about? TKO is Ring of Honor, not AEW.
Yeah.
But I was like, she's getting too much TV time to be jobbing it out every week. So kudos to them for giving her a little push. Hopefully she's in the TBS run now.
I've seen tons and tons of hype for her, like online. Like not necessarily like overhype. I'm talking about like that she signed. They want to see good things from her. Like, I hope she gets that run out of it.
Yeah.
You know, when people have the momentum behind them, you need to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And something they're not good at.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That's something that TK, you know, whether he keeps her on AEW or puts her in Ring of Honor, just run with that momentum with her.
Yeah.
Steve's came from AEW. That's why I was asking before. You know, where's your came from?
Okay.
His was Joe, the Samoa Joe mic work. Unbelievable that WWE only saw him as a commentator. Really want his run to continue, but Swerve's momentum is high also. So, I mean,
I have a theory about that match, but yeah. Mm-hmm. During a triple threat, I think Hangman's going to eat the pin because just like that, you can't kill Swerve's momentum at all. Mm-hmm. He cannot take a loss. Yeah. He can take a loss that way, but he can't take a loss. But yeah,
I think that's what we're going to see too.
Yeah, but I definitely agree. Joe's mic work was good. Swerve's mic work was good. As soon as Hangman came down and started talking, I got mad as hell because it didn't fit. It seemed like it didn't fit. He's the odd piece of the puzzle in there.
What's the point of triple threat matches, though? Just what you explained. Someone needs to eat the pin.
Yes.
Any multi-man match, really. You know? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a great match.
Oh, I do, too.
No,
I really do.
And we'll get into that. We still got a few weeks before that, which
that
seems the way that they've been promoting it. It seems like that's right, like literally right around the corner.
Yeah, we still got
a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the only storyline that's, to me, that's the only storyline that's happening in AEW.
Yeah. At least.
Like burning, like on fire burning.
I'm trying to think of when they started that. That had to have been like right after the last pay-per-view in November, right? They kind of started building that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you take the Swerve and the Hangman stuff out of that, you know, we're talking months and months before that, but these three together, I mean, at least they'd be giving them lots of time.
Yeah.
Because
that's how you build it up.
Because
every other story to me is either stale or completely not interesting anymore.
I can get that. My Mount Rushmore is also something that Steve had, kind of like his 1B, was War Dogs versus the United Empire. That's where I thought you were going with what you were saying before. War Dogs versus United Empire at New Beginning this past week. To me, that was a fitting name because that was Ospreay's last match, and what a way to go out. But then it was also at the event, you also had Okada versus Tanahashi for the last time. And with Okada on his way out, that wasn't his last match. He still has a few more this month. They haven't announced his final opponent yet, but Zack Sabre Jr. threw his name out there. So I don't know if that's where we're heading or somebody else, or that'll just be a match on the stop.
That's odd. You think it would be Tanahashi?
You would think.
Rivalry, you think.
Yeah. You know, but this card was very hyped up. I almost made the headline this week that there's no crying in wrestling, because it's just like, it was a very emotional show for a lot of people. One was definitely Rainmaker. Like during his entrance, he was crying on the ramp coming down. You know, Ospreay was very emotional during his entrance and exit at the end of the match. But the match itself, it was very different. He got his reference in. it was a steel cage match, which you don't really see in New Japan. And I saw the last time they've had one was in 2008. So definitely for someone that didn't watch New Japan 2008, you know, I've never seen a steel cage match there. So it was something different. It was kind of cool. You know, it was a war. Like to me, that was almost like New Japan's version of War Games.
Okay.
Like the cage was around the outside. It wasn't around the ring. So like they had like the outside of the ring,
you know how much
room they normally have anyways out there. So they had enough room to brawl, get stuff from under the ring. Towards the end of the match, they start taking apart the ring and, you know, people were falling through because the wood planks started like collapsing underneath. Yeah. Like just moving around. So that was interesting. But what a way to end somebody's run in New Japan. I thought like it was just a great brawl. And I thought that was a good way for Ospreay to go out. War Dogs won. Finlay got the pin over Ospreay, I think it was. And I think they're really pushing Finlay. So I'm looking forward to, like, you know, him being the global champion right now. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he grows this year. With a couple of the big names gone, there's definitely room for him to take a spot.
Yeah. And look at that, Ospreay taking the pin on his way out the way you're supposed to do, you know.
I was very surprised Okada got the win over Tanahashi.
Not his last match, so.
It wasn't his last match.
So, you know, there you go.
He beat the president. I think that's what made me even more surprised. Like, Tanahashi was like, nah, I got this. It's like he's booking, right? You know, like,
yeah.
Like, it's kind of nice that he put Okada over at the end for mm-hmm. the last time. I know Okada put him over a ton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they each put each other over, but I remember a bunch of matches that Tanahashi really beat Okada.
Mm-hmm.
I should look that up to see what the record was for the two of them in matches. Because that's got to be like Cena Orton.
It probably is. Yeah,
you know, how many times those two faced each other. But we'll get more into Okada, I'm sure, as the reign ends here over the next couple weeks and seeing where he officially ends up with, even though the rumor is AEW right now. But I think that was everything for Mount Rushmore. Did you guys have anything else that you want to discuss in there?
What?
What's I can think of.
All right, before we get into the game for the week, we've talked many times about this man and how he's kind of a jabroni in himself. But the Meltzer rating system. this week it was kind of popping up again because he says Kurt Angle on his rankings, he doesn't have Kurt Angle ever having a 5-star match. He might have like a 4.5, and he claims that that's as good as a 5-star match. But he says Kurt Angle never had an official 5-star because he never had the opponents to give him a 5-star match. And just like someone did a list and they go, we got HBK, Undertaker, Lashley, AJ, Samoa Joe, Daniels, Benoit, Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Brock Lesnar, Edge, The Rock, and Stone Cold. I think he had plenty of a 5-star capable opponents in his career.
Oh, of course.
He had and the that list probably could go on and on, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Especially for how since many times they fought him, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned the name, I could have watched Eddie and Angle and Benoit go tit for tat forever.
Everybody take a shot.
Yep. Forever. And I didn't even, care for that type of wrestling back then, like the technical mm-hmm. wrestling. I was like a big brawler, powerhouse. Those guys, I could have watched those. Those three
all
go forever.
Yeah.
So my question, which will lead into the game today, is does Kurt Angle, in your opinion, have a 5-star match? And if so, what's the match? Me, I'm going to say I could go two. I'd either go him and Benoit at Rumble or him and Shawn at WrestleMania 21.
Yeah, I was going to say him and Sean was
yeah.
phenomenal. I like that. And even though it was like a crazy street fight, him and Shane, I mean, that was.
That's it.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That there was something to see. I
wasn't even thinking of that one, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a match I could watch over and over and have over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't a wrestling match that we know. No, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was different for him, which proved why he could wrestle anybody.
I'm pretty sure he had non-wrestling matches up there as 5-star matches. So,
and I didn't watch TNA all like that back then whenever he was around. I know he had to have some great matches in TNA also.
Oh, I mean, his feud with Joe at the beginning was incredible. And this is whenever he was having it, like personal issues. A lot of his run in TNA, he was having personal issues,
mm-hmm.
and was still having, I'll say it, banger after banger after banger.
Does he have a list of all his Kurt Angle match ratings?
There probably is online. Mm-hmm. I didn't pull that up, but like,
well, I won't look that up.
Yeah, he was basically saying, you know, it's just like someone was saying, like this match is, you know, you rank it. I rate this 5.5. I rate this 5. You rank it 4.5. And he's like, well, we're saying the same thing.
Damn, that cool.
Yeah.
Damn.
But Kurt for me is in my top 10 of all time favorite performers. So, like, I'm going to sit there and say Kurt's had a 5-star match, in my opinion.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Maybe there's other people that are going to disagree. Maybe they didn't enjoy him as a performer for whatever reason. But
has he broken down his criteria?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he has criteria for it. I think it's just, as we've said, his list and everybody else's list, it's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on what you like and what you're looking for. So his ranking, you know, his list of 5-star matches might not be the equivalent to my list and to your list or anybody else's. It just depends on what kind of wrestling you like. His might be more technical heavy because he has a lot of New Japan stuff on there.
I mean, you're talking about a technical wrestler, though.
Yeah, this is true. But also a technical wrestler who is also in entertainment, you know, is known for his entertainment a lot, too. Yeah, pretty much. All right, so this week's game is going to be pretty short and simple. I got a couple wrestlers here that I'm going to name, and I want you to say the first match that you think of for them. It might be your favorite match, or it could just be a match that you think of when you think of this talent. And I tried to pick people that were in different companies, so it's not just, you know, you're not just thinking of one, mm-hmm. one specific type talent. So the first one is Bryan Danielson.
Him and Cena at SummerSlam.
Good match.
Him and Omega.
Another good match.
Yeah, the first one. It's fucked up. You said a match, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. My first thought was Kane. Yeah.
First match for me is the one that made me a fan of him. Was from Ring of Honor, him versus Nigel McGuinness at Driven 2007. That's the first match I always think of when I think of Bryan Danielson, just because it made me a fan of him. Sting.
Him and Flair bashing the beach. 89, 90, somewhere around there.
Victory Road.
It's terrible, but him and Seth.
Okay. Stands on your mind.
It was significant. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Only title match he got in WWE. So I think, just me personally, the first match I always think of, him and Hogan, Starrcade in 97. Like, yeah, not a great match, especially the ending. It was the ending we wanted, but
yeah,
match I always think of with him. Rob Van Dam.
Bam Bam Bigelow when he won the TV title off of him in original ECW.
Nice.
My mind is quality. I have to say Jungle Boy. A lot of this stuff is really biased. Like, moments stick out more than me than the whole match. So, yeah. Trust me, I've watched enough ECW, but I can't remember shit from ECW except for Scout. I don't want to lay it.
So, you know Francine and Beulah. You got them down. Like, yeah.
Donald, I was actually expecting to tie you on this one. Because mine, when I think Rob Van Dam, I think Jerry Lynn. So, first one that came to mind was Living Dangerously 99, him and RVD.
Okay.
So, AJ Styles.
And the Shane.
His first match was the Okada when he won a title in New Japan.
Good one. Both good ones. I'm thinking old school TNA. Him, Daniels, and Joe. Ty's got a good memory for this quick shit.
Yeah, you do. It's about matches, though. Yeah.
Good comments, though.
As much as I hate the guy, he knows his wrestling.
Yeah. And last one, Dudley Boys.
There's too many.
It's whatever comes to mind first.
Yeah, the first thing that popped up was Demon and Gangsters, ECW.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple matches. I can't even pick one. It's just multiple.
Not as the TLCs, and I went straight to the Usos.
When it was putting everybody over.
But the TLC.
Yeah, that run.
I was thinking TLC, WrestleMania 7. Or 17.
I was about to say 7.
My first thought? Yeah. Like, damn. My first thought when you say Dudley's is Mae Young. That's
yeah,
generally
on there too. But then the stuff with the gangsters, Donald. I mean, like they wrestled so many times. I don't even remember like sometimes specific matches. Like I remember like
because everything all blends in because everything turns into a freaking brawl.
Because how many tag matches in ECW were there that it was advertised this team versus this team and then turned out to be six teams in the match?
Exactly.
You know, so it's like it's so hard.
You go back to having ECW nights.
Right.
Uncut.
You know where we got to start again, though? We got to start at the very beginning.
Yep.
Like awesome JT Smith. Start right there.
The camera can't pan over anymore. Sorry, guys.
We gotta wait till they get back in the building. And Zoom only goes so far back in the 90s. Could you imagine what ECW could have gotten away with today's technology?
Oh, man.
Like, it would have been, like, if they would have taped, not even going live, but everybody would have had cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have had angles from everything.
Because they were one of the first ones that had that fam cam footage. Remember, they used to show whole matches with the video recorder.
Yeah. I got a few of those events, too.
Yeah. They were like, when are we getting to the hard cam? Like, nah, this is it.
Yeah.
Innovative.
Yeah.
At the time, it was.
Even with one cam.
Yes.
All right. Anything else before we wrap things up? Nothing else. Nah. All right, guys. That's it. Thanks for tuning in to episode 175 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. If you're watching this live right now and you see all the social media below, hit us up. YouTube, TikTok, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, X, at Dumb Marks Pod. Like, subscribe, follow us on all those. Head over to dumbmarkspod.com for all the links and more. And the most important thing, follow and listen on Spotify. You know, tell a friend. Let everybody know. Share the show. You know, comment on the shows. Keep the feedback going. We appreciate everybody here today in the comments. Great comments today.
Yes. Very, very good.
So with that, we'll end things with the quote of the week. The only impossible journey is the one you never begin. Telling Cody to finish his story here. The only impossible journey is the one you never begin. So with that, until next time, guys, have a good one.